Let's pray before the message. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom, we beg of you. Humble our hearts, give us open hearts, that we may grow in wisdom and honour the wise amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you heard there's an old hymn that goes, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness"? And there are some Protestant churches, there's an Anglican church just down the road from here, that has that inscribed in the building, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." The phrase comes from Psalm 96. And I don't know whether you've thought about the connection between holiness and beauty. Holiness and beauty. I want to put it to you, friends, that holiness or godliness or Christ-likeness is beauty, and beauty is to be found in godliness and in Christ-likeness. Last week when we looked at Proverbs, we talked about how the point of Proverbs is to show you that God's ways make you flourish. God, living God's ways is not to take away joy, but to maximize your joy in godly living. Proverbs is there so you don't just have the Ten Commandments, "You shalt not," but you actually see the wisdom and are persuaded that they will bless you and you will flourish. And so Proverbs is there to make God's law attractive or beautiful. And the example from last week was with sex, that the idea was you're not choosing between the world's way of sexual pleasure and God's way of kind of no fun, but actually God's design for marriage of sex will bring you the most pleasure in sex, and that those who just sort of are careless with this gift will end up hurt and being hurt and hurting others, and bad things happen. And so see, friends, what Proverbs is trying to do as a book. It's trying to draw together two things that we try and separate. You know, godliness and beauty go together. We think they're separate. You know, normally people think you've got to make a distinction. You've got to choose either what is attractive and aesthetic, or you've got to choose kind of what's unattractive and ethical. But that's not a choice you have to make in God's world. In God's world, you just need wisdom by fearing the Lord to see that His ways will, in the end, be the most glorious, be the most sensual, be the most attractive. I mean, why do we sin? Why do people lead us into disobeying God? Because we get in our head that that will bring me more happiness, that will make me more beautiful, that will make me more joyful, when actually the whole thing is a lie. It's Satan's lie. And it's God's ways that will help us best live a beautiful life. Now, last week was somewhat centred on the potential stupidity of every man and the stupidity of men in their thinking with the wrong organ. And so I was picking on men a lot and thinking about men. Today is more about women, today's message. And there's a number of themes in Proverbs to draw this out. But also, you may have noticed the entire theme of the book is about two women. The narrative of Proverbs is heavily gendered. It's not a flat, bland, kind of politically correct book. It's very much this letter of the father to a son, and before him are two ways of living represented by two women. So it's a very kind of gendered book, and this is part of the beauty of Proverbs, that it's interesting. These two women. It's engaging, and, you know, actually, just pause the sermon for a minute. If you think about it, this is a wisdom book. What is one of the great mysteries of God's creation? The difference between men and women, right? You know, we know that there's a difference. God has made men and women different. We value the difference. And yet it's a paradox, it's a puzzle, it's very hard to narrowly define. In many ways it defies stereotypes, and yet there is something different between men and women. It's one of the mysteries of the universe. So it's a good area for Proverbs to play in, and it does play in this area. And the two women, anyway, before the man that the book is written to, we'll give them these names. These are names that were told to me. He chooses between Lady Wisdom and Dame Folly. So they're two women. Lady Wisdom, in the book of Proverbs, is a street preacher who invites the son into God-fearing paths. She promises long-term security, blessing, honour, life, and true beauty. That's Lady Wisdom. On the other hand, Dame Folly, she's kind of like attractive, like, if I can put it this way, like a prostitute is attractive. She kind of looks for something there, but actually she's a seducer, and she represents a way of life of forgetting God, a way of life of getting sucked in by the world, forgetting caution, forgetting consequences. And again, Proverbs says, Dame Folly will lead to pain and death and destruction. Proverbs 7, literally, her path is a highway to hell, highway to hell. And so, in one level, friends, these two paths are choices for both, for all Christians, men and women, right? That it's a path of wisdom or the path of foolishness, the path of God-fearing, or the path of worldliness. And so it's a general call. But on the other hand, the symbolic structure of it is heavily gendered. And there are some implicit messages there about godliness for women. And there are many proverbs in the book about being a godly woman and honouring godly women well. And that's the theme we're going to focus on today. And part of the reason we need to do this, friends, is because we owe godly women a debt of honour. And Proverbs itself says, you know, for example, 11:16, a kind-hearted woman gains respect. There's a respect or honour due to godly women that we need to praise them for. And I want to do that in today's sermon. In fact, there's a whole book of the Bible that's pretty much dedicated to praising a woman. That's the wisdom book of Song of Songs. And it's really modelling that husbands in particular need to verbally praise their wives and express their desire for their wife verbally. There's a whole pattern in Scripture. Jesus himself in his life set up a benchmark for honouring women relative to the other religious leaders of his day. The Apostle Paul names the mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, of Timothy, who taught him the Bible. The Apostle Peter names Sarah and honours her godliness, Sarah of the Bible. And so there's this whole theme in the Bible of praising publicly, calling out godly women and honouring them. In chapter 30 of Proverbs, it says, one of the great injustices of the universe, under which the earth trembles, is a list of them, but one of them is an unloved woman who is married. Do you know what I mean? Because you're meant to love and honour your wife and cherish her. Or elsewhere in Proverbs it says, only a fool despises his mother. And so we need to learn to honour women, honour godly mothers, honour godly women in our midst. Now, I love this proverb in chapter 14, verse 1. This is probably the key proverb today. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down. The building industry is actually quite male-dominated, I've noticed. And I'm pretty sure in the ancient world, in whatever BC when this was written, the time of King David, so maybe, you know, I don't know, 1500 BC or something, there weren't many women builders. But Proverbs says the wise woman builds her house. It's a wise woman that makes a household a household. Do you see what he's saying? But with her own hands, a foolish one tears hers down. I've actually noticed around us in Casey, a strong identity marker of living in this part of Melbourne is that we are into building houses, right? It's happening everywhere, and most of you live in a recently built house. Maybe you even built it, you ordered it, you designed it, that kind of thing. But if not, you probably live in a house that's less than 20 years old, which is relatively new. And so all of Casey is running after building a house, building a home, building a household. We can show them how to do it. In fact, Proverbs has a lot to say. Chapter 24 says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." Joining the kind of wisdom and godliness with beauty. You know, by wisdom you have a beautiful house. Chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars." You know, wisdom almost constructs the house, it's saying. Underlying all this, friends, I think is this sense that your household is extremely formative on who you are, on you, on your children, on your grandchildren, and incalculable generations. The household is home base. It's the epicenter of living. A wise life will mean a household that's shaped by wisdom, and therefore the ongoing generations will be wise and God-fearing. What's the climate of your home? What's the culture of your home? Is it God-fearing? Is it Jesus-enjoying? Is it marked by prayer? You know, does it have that beauty of godliness about it? What matters is, you know, not the square feet or how nice your furniture is necessarily, but is it shaped by wisdom? And Proverbs says, godly women are key to this. Godly women are key. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears it down. And you'll know the book of Proverbs has a very famous conclusion. Chapter 31, a whole chapter dedicated to the godly woman, lady wisdom, you know, incarnate in a normal kind of godly wife of noble character. Let me read you a little bit of chapter 31. "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." And it goes on to give a picture of the power and impact of a godly woman. I won't read it all, but basically she's so productive. She's clothing kids, she's feeding kids, she's buying and selling goods and items. She's running businesses, she's buying and selling land. She's providing for others wherever she goes. And finally, the chapter concludes, she speaks with wisdom. Her character is fearing the Lord, Bible-saturated, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children, and here's that praise thing happening, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And there's an example how to do that. "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." The Proverbs 31 woman has this amazing, explosive, godly house-building power. Her Christ-like productivity is extensive, and she's marked by this selflessness, this concern for other, for God's glory and wisdom, and for the good of others, that I think actually she's like an emblem of the gospel. She's like a type of Christ who left heaven and gave up everything. Christ was, you know, concerned with the other. So he lays down his life for us to take our sin. She is like that. She is totally concerned with selfless giving of self. Friends, let's honour. We have a church full of women like this. Let's honour them. Let's praise them today and always. And though she is productive, the picture of this productive woman, it's not about necessarily earning income, though it could be. But Proverbs says, you know, houses, wealth, yeah, they're inherited. But a prudent wife is from the Lord. That's 19:14. We're talking about joyful, godly household life. Chapter 15:17 says, better a dish of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. So better to have less with wisdom and love and joy than more with disruption and dysfunction. In fact, there's even part of the book of Proverbs which is written explicitly by a woman, which may be the only part of the Bible. Chapter 30, there's some sayings of the mother of a king. I want you to feel the importance of this. I want the women to feel, the women here may feel somewhat like they're not making an impact, and I want to say you are making an impact. And I want to say to the men, let's honour them for the impact they make. Again and again, Proverbs says, Dame Folly has an impact that's destructive, and Lady Wisdom has a massive impact, which is of godliness and houses and dynasties established. Godly women bring peace. Just like Lady Wisdom, her ways are pleasant ways, all her paths are peace. These principles are very easy for me to illustrate by virtue of the number of funerals I've taken of godly women. And it's been my absolute joy. You go to a funeral of someone, of a woman who, say, was a mother in the Great Depression. So financially had nothing. Would dream of the homes any of you have. You know, raised, you know, 8 kids in like a 1-bedroom home, all those sorts of people, you know, and had nothing and made the clothes for the kids. And you hear the children and grandchildren at a funeral speak about a woman like that, of her wisdom and of her selflessness, and you see the impact. It's really, really clear when you step back at something like a funeral and look at 70 years wisely lived, and you see an enormous impact. I'm sure you all know a godly grandmother or great-grandmother like that, and we want to encourage that wise womanhood around today. I sort of feel there's a bit of an irony too, because a lot of these godly women, they themselves didn't have a salaried job ever, or only part-time or whatever. But in the first sort of 3 rows of the church are the legacy that they've produced, and you think, well, there's probably 15 people here and they've all got amazing careers, and so she's probably, in effect, produced a corporation with millions in income every year. And, you know, it would blow her mind, but, you know, they couldn't have done it without her, do you see? And sometimes at the funerals I take, if the family, you see the family searching, and they're questioning, and they're saying, you can see them, they articulate it sometimes, they say, who is like this today? Who in our family is doing this today? You know, we're all really busy and we don't really have much time for each other, and something's missing, and they can see it's like something special's gone. But friends, this is what Proverbs is inviting us to walk into. Such women are protective and nurturing, just as wisdom is. Proverbs says in chapter 4, of wisdom, love her and she will watch over you. Esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honour you. That's Lady Wisdom. Friends, let's honour such Christ-like women in our midst. Now, there's almost no taboo topics when you just work through the Bible. And we've got one last thing we need to look at on this topic. there is in Proverbs, with the encouragements come some challenges to women. And there's a number of Proverbs warning women and actually talking about the power, its destructive power. Anyway, I don't know, I kind of like these because they're kind of funny, but they're deadly serious. Let me give some examples, and you'll all kind of grin when you hear them. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. Can I get an amen? Better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. You see the theme? Chapter 12, verse 4 has both sides. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. Great. That's what we've been talking about. But a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. A foolish woman or a disgraceful wife is like cancer, is what it's saying. You've got to live together and it's just awful. Chapter 27, a quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof in a rainstorm. And sort of like you can't restrain it. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. Nothing you can do. I mean, other than women hear the word of God today and grow in wisdom, grow in the beauty of wisdom. Because the picture is not of beauty anymore, is it? The picture of a foolish woman is just quarrelsome. It's not attractive. I was reading a book by Christian author Nancy Wilson, and this is how she puts it. She's addressing women and says, "Are you nitpicking, backbiting, criticizing, complaining, and being generally unpleasant? A wife can be so focused on her husband's sins, and they are real, that she is blinded to her own." See, that's the great danger, that you're blinded to your own sins. You're so focused on your husband's or someone else's sins that you're blinded to your own. And it's true that some husbands are beleaguered men. You know, they are just unrelentingly disrespected, and how the wife treats them, the children disrespect him in the same way. I come from a family like that. And friends, it never works. It never produces any fruit. You know, a man feels his weight and what he ought to be, but he's never going to be nagged into doing it. Do you know what I mean? He's too proud. So it never works. Wisdom is not only beautiful, wisdom is persuasive. Wisdom doesn't need to nag. Wisdom doesn't need to quarrel. Putting your first allegiances to God, being prayerful, you know, being humble before the Lord, fearing the Lord, you know, that's what it's about. You're not meant to have a kind of grumpy, self-righteous piety, but a peaceful piety, a peaceful godliness that's beautiful. I mean, how about this for a picture of beauty? Chapter 11, verse 22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. See what it's saying? I feel like I'm very thin ice today. But it's in the Word of God. There's no point in having the best looks, the best designer clothes, the best, you know, gym bod or whatever, you know, if you have no wisdom. If you do not permeate Christ-like wisdom. The picture of Dame Folly in the book of Proverbs is that she dresses like a prostitute. She's loud and defiant. Chapter 9, she's loud, undisciplined, and without knowledge. It's not beautiful. It's not, you know, you feel it. Proverbs is there to make beauty happen. The New Testament affirms the power of a godly wife. In 1 Peter 3, speaking of Christian women married to non-Christian husbands, says that a godly wife, by her character, can win over her husband without a word. That's the power of a godly woman, the power to build a house, or the power to tear it down. So friends, hear the word of the Lord today. Let us honour the wisdom of our godly women amongst us. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears it down. Dame Folly has a veneer of worldly attractiveness, but her paths are paths of vexing and destruction. Lady Wisdom fears God and produces a beautiful godliness shaped by God's word that has a countless impact across time and across generations. Let's pray that God would raise up such godliness here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the way Proverbs addresses the realities of life and the struggles of marriage and the weaknesses of and frailties of both men and women. Please, Father, produce in us, out of loyalty to you, fear and godliness and holiness and beauty. Please, in our walk with Christ, make us flourish, and we honour, Father, the women amongst us who serve in many ways seen only by you, and for their sacrifice and for their wisdom and the guidance and the impact they do have in our lives. And we pray that we will respect them and bring them the praise that is theirs continually. In Jesus' name, amen.